Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Tuesday afternoon. Now, it's funny, up in Massachusetts, there's a Democrat Party primary between Ed Markey, who's generally regarded as, well, nobody, and he's running against Joe Kennedy the Fourth, who's generally regarded as the president of the Lucky Sperm Club New England division. And, you know, here's the sad part about this election that's happening up there today. One of these nitwits actually has to win. It would be beautiful if they could both lose. It ain't going to happen. But what is going to happen, according to my sources up there, Ed Markey, who most people barely know is conscious, is going to knock off the latest Kennedy, which could bring to an end the Kennedy family political business. That would be nice, huh? All right. Well, listen, we got a lot of stuff we have got to talk about, not the least of which seems to be a developing gang war in the courts. Now, there is nobody, and I repeat, nobody in Central Virginia who knows the inside of criminal activity in the city and elsewhere, like the crime insider himself from CBS 6, my buddy John Burkett. John, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Now, do you want to give us a lay of the land? What the heck is going on in the courts?
Well, I mean, for the past two and a half weeks, almost 3 weeks now, we've seen it where, you know, there's been a lot of retaliatory gun battles where teenagers are losing their lives. People are getting shot. You saw at Wickham Court a week ago from yesterday where five people were shot and more than 60 shell casings were picked up off the ground. So they call it a turf war, and I'm not really sure what turf they're protecting, but as one former detective explained to me, it's not so much the property, it's the you don't belong in my neighborhood, and we are going to protect this neighborhood from you being here.
Wow. Wow. So what is – I don't want to be unfeeling, but – They're keeping tabs here, right? I mean, there's a body count going on.
Oh, man. Not only are they keeping tabs, and I guess what's most alarming is they are emboldened now, and you are seeing them brag on Instagram, on Facebook, on all these social media outlets of Twitter, you know, for a different city. But just the other night in Petersburg, there was a triple shooting. A guy was on Facebook Live, bragging about what he's going to do. He's going to take care of business. And 16 minutes into that video, 30 shots erupt. And this is what you're seeing more and more of this. Now think about the fellow Tim McMorris that they were had a vigil for yesterday in Wickham Court. Mm-hmm. This guy has no tie to any mischief. This guy's got a clean record. He's had two strokes. He's 53 years old. He walks around with a cane. And he is simply gunned down like a dog because he can't get out of the way fast enough of these bullets flying. There's three different types of weapons used in Wickham Court on Monday night. There's a .40 caliber, there's a .45, and I've been told by sources there was an AK-47. They found shell casings for all three of those guns, and most of them had double-digit shell casings. Mm. And they're going through and spraying these housing projects with lead, and there is a lot of innocent people, some that live there, that are being hit by these errant bullets.
Wow. This is just absurd, But it's par for the course. If we've got a mayor who has gone through three different police chiefs, four different police chiefs in recent history, and let's face it, the inside word is that LeVar Stoney is saying to whoever the chief is at whatever given time, I don't want a lot of activity out there. Do these guys there in Whitcomb Court and Mosby and Gilpin and the rest of it, do they just feel as if they've got free rein?
Free rein, maybe that's part of it. They're not scared. That's the other part. I think they can do math themselves. They pay attention enough to know that this is not a fully staffed department. You and I both know this.
Yep.
Over the past 90 days, Richmond has taken a hit, and I know of at least 45 applicants that have tried to transfer from Richmond to Chesterfield, and that's probably a conservative estimate. And others have jumped ship. They've retired early. They've gone to different localities like Hanover.
Yep.
So, you know, so when I talked to the mayor last night, one of the questions I had is, well, what are you going to do to put a stop to what we're seeing here in these courts, this so-called turf war? And he said that he and the chief had talked Monday morning about flooding the courts with more personnel, more police. Mm-hmm. But the question I have, Jeff, is what personnel are you going to flood the courts with when, as soon as you come in off the gate, I'm told by sources, as soon as the platoon checks on, half of them are taken and given to a riot squad in case riots break out.
Wow. You know, this
so where, is just... where are you getting the manpower?
Yeah. You know, John, you mentioned this, and you're absolutely correct, because I'm hearing from so many other folks. Cops in the city of Richmond are getting out as quickly as they can. You're absolutely correct. They're going to other agencies if possible. And I've heard from guys who are saying, you know what? I don't care. I'm done with law enforcement, given the attitude in this country right about now.
Yes.
I, you know, they're saying to me, I can make more being the manager at Trader Joe's or Lidl, and nobody's angry at me unless maybe we're out of, you know, half and half at that particular time. And that's not going to be a life or death situation. And that attitude locally has been really, really reinforced by the mayor. Now, I'm a little shocked that the mayor agreed to sit down with you. What gives?
He didn't sit down. He was at a vigil for Tim McMorris, one of the latest homicide victims. I'll give him credit. He was out there in the rain. It was pouring down raining. And he gave a passionate speech in front of the folks that were in attendance about enough is enough. How many more? Mm-hmm. How many more daughters, sisters, brothers? But quite frankly, man, this is, you got to put some bark behind the bite. Yeah. And how are you going to do that when the numbers simply aren't there? I mean, it remains to be seen. I'm not dogging the guy.
Right.
I just want to, you know, because I go into these neighborhoods all the time. And sometimes on the scene, if not hours later, I'm talking to victims' family members on camera, putting a camera in their face and getting the stories of a Tim McMorris who suffered through strokes, survived, yet his life was gunned down and taken in Wickham. And you hear those stories, or you hear the story of the gentleman in the East End off of Blue Ridge Avenue. He came home from Jamaica to tie up some loose ends. Yeah. Someone tried to go into his house and rob him and shot him to death. This is a day before his baby daughter was born in Jamaica. And it just makes no sense.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, you wonder, you know, when is enough going to be enough? Hours after I interviewed the mayor, and I understand he can't control this, but you got two teenage females in Fairfield Court. Right. I got awakened by text this morning at 12:30, two females in Fairfield Court shot, non-life-threatening, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it continues. It's another thing between Fairfield and Creighton. Mosby doesn't like Gilpin. Gilpin doesn't like Wickham. And it goes around. It's a vicious circle. And in my 20 years, I've seen it a lot.
Yeah. Hey, John Burkhead is joining us, the Crime Insider with CBS6. John, in those 20 years, have you ever had a situation where you roll up on the scene and you've got somebody who's a victim and you say, wait a minute, that's the son or the daughter of somebody who was a victim 15 years ago.
Absolutely. It's happened.
Yeah.
And what's even, here's something even crazier for you. Just a week ago in Wickham Court, I'm standing at the corner of Bethel and DeForest. Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, they have got a mass shooting investigation about 50 feet behind me, right?
Right.
Someone comes down Wickham, and all you hear is, cat, 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 cat. The police are there. The presence is there. The lights are twirling and flickering. And they don't care, man. They're coming down Wickham Court, and they are spraying lead like no business. I'm trying to look for something to get underneath so one of those bullets doesn't come down and hit me.
Wow. Wow. Hey, John, what's your latest on the parole board and their various and sundry shenanigans?
Working on a few stories, also. Thank you. I'm glad you asked that. We're working on a few stories. There's a case out of Middlesex County that I'm working on that's got the same kind of egregious activity. No one called. They let them loose. Hmm. And I don't know if you heard about the Norfolk story. About a week ago, there was a guy who'd been let go a couple of years ago, and he had violated his probation. So the parole officer came to the higher powers of be and said, look, we need to put a warrant out for this guy's arrest. And the higher powers of be, I'm told by sources at the parole board, said, we're not going to do that. Well, that night, he is shot along with a one-month-old infant that was around him in Norfolk. Thankfully, the infant is okay, and the guy who's on parole is okay.
Right.
But it's another one of those examples, man. You know, if it's not them calling victims' families, and you have this other element that these other folks that are out on parole are putting other people in danger just by being in their presence.
Right. Absolutely. Wow. It's absolute craziness, and I appreciate you keeping a handle on it. Love the stuff you do at CBS6, and looking forward to getting you back here again soon.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate it, Jeff.
All right. Thank you, my friend. That is John Burkett, the crime insider from CBS6. Craziness, don't you think? There are teenagers, especially. Now, I'm not saying 13 years old, but 18, 19, 17. And they are running the streets. Now, in some cases, you do have the 12 and 13-year-olds running the street. In some cases, you got some older guys that are involved in this. But primarily, what you're talking about when you were talking about gangbangers who are involved in activity in public housing projects, you are talking about late teens, early 20s. Now, that's a time that most young people are beginning to think about their future. Hopefully they've already done some thinking about it. They're thinking about college. They are thinking about trade school. They're thinking about what they're going to do for a living. These guys in public housing projects have absolutely, positively no thoughts in that direction. They're gangbangers today, and many of them are perfectly prepared to die as they are fighting for their gang. The big problem with it is it doesn't happen in a bubble. You know, if you had all these guys in, like, the Thunderdome, right, some big stadium that's walled off, then maybe other people go, well, what do I care? It's all over there. But that's not the way this works. This is happening in streets, on sidewalks, outside of homes that have little babies, and it's innocent people that are getting hurt. So we got a couple of ways to deal with this. Yes, you need to go in there and you need to lock these guys up. But you also have got to be able at some point in their lives to say, look, this gangbanging crap is not going to end well for you. And it is not a profitable enterprise. And there's no retirement plan and there are no benefits. And even though it's harder and even though at the moment it seems like it's a real pain in your rear end, you need an education. You need some sort of a skill. You need to be able to get up in the morning and go out and go to work and have a family. Now, I'm not in a position to go down and lecture guys because I don't know that they're going to listen to me. But there have to be men because the women are not getting it done. Not because they're not trying, but because these young teenage boys are not listening to their mothers and they don't have any positive male role models. So fathers and those who can be father figures need to step up to the plate and need to step up ASAP. It's Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.